Good morning. The markets are moving and so are you from the BizNews studios. This is BizNews Daybreak for Wednesday, the 17th of December, 2025. I'm Alec Hogg. Here is the context you need to win the day. The Dow Jones futures edged lower overnight, along with the S&P 500 futures and NASDAQ futures. So American markets sending a down signal to the JSE. However, as far as the actual trading was concerned, although the S&P 500 dipped by 0.2%, the NASDAQ was slightly higher last night, and there were some pretty impressive moves on some of the stocks held in the BizNews portfolio. Don't forget, for premium members, we have got our year-end portfolio update today at noon. So just click on that link, which is in your premium newsletter. The Bitcoin was up by nearly 2% to $87,000. And the star of the show last night was Tesla, up by 3%. This despite the fact that California suggests that it's going to suspend the sale of Tesla cars, although not right away. Donald Trump ordered a blockade of sanctioned oil tankers in Venezuela, which is making markets a little nervous as well. But as far as the investment news is concerned, well, the big story remains Warner Brothers Discovery. Let's catch up with our partners at Bloomberg.
Warner Brothers Discovery is planning to reject a hostile takeover bid from Paramount Skydance. We are told there are concerns about financing and other terms as well. Now, the board at Warner Brothers is still viewing the existing agreement with Netflix as offering greater value, certainty, and terms than those proposed by Paramount. Here is Bloomberg's Michelle Davis.
It already agreed to a deal with Netflix. So at the end of the day, it's still going to come down to whether Paramount comes back with a higher offer, you know, whether it is able to propose something that does meet Warner Brothers' concerns. But until then, you know, they have this deal with Netflix, and they'll be shepherding that through the regulatory process.
That is Bloomberg's Michelle Davis. Now, at the same time, we are told that Jared Kushner's Affinity Partners is leaving this takeover battle. Affinity was helping to finance the offer from Paramount. Affinity now says the dynamics of an investment have changed since it became involved in the process. Tomorrow, President Trump will reportedly interview Fed Governor Chris Waller as a potential candidate to become Fed chairman. The Wall Street Journal reports Waller has become a leading internal advocate for rate cuts. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told Fox Business that the president is likely to announce his decision in early January.
It's at the president's pace that he has been very, very deliberate. We had an interview last week. We may have one or two more interviews this week and next week. And then the president has been very direct with the candidates.
That is Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent speaking earlier to Fox Business.
Coming up a little later, we'll hear from our partners at the Financial Times in London about the way that hedge funds are moving into commodities. Not a bad thing for South Africa, given that we are such a commodity-based economy. But on our local front, well, we've got our own version of the Paramount versus Netflix, but ours is a lot nastier. It's open warfare at Hoskin Consolidated Investments. We've got the story on BizNews, but just to give you a little bit of the color to what's going on there. HCI announced a massive 1.5 billion rand festive shuffle. That was just before we went on holiday yesterday. That was on Monday afternoon, late Monday afternoon in the Stock Exchange News Service. It's going to be swapping properties like the prestigious Gallagher Estate, which it owns, to buy back shares from SACTU, the union shareholder, which started the whole HCI story. HCI used to be an insurance company which owned a company called IGI. Now, if you've got a long memory, you might remember that. Most people don't. But then HCI became a shell or a holding company which was then acquired by SACTU and driven for decades now by Johnny Copeland to inject some assets there. Initially, they had the benefit of BEE shareholdings. But thereafter, they've become very much non-BEE dependent. Anyway, the boardroom brawl has now exploded in the wake of that SACDRU HCI offer, an activist firm called Active Management has accused Copeland, who's the CEO of HCI, of governance failure regarding a separate December block trade. They allege that Copeland cherry-picked shares for his own family entities while the company, HCI itself, was buying stock in the market. Copeland has fired back with a blistering public letter, which we've also published on BizNews. He claims the endless poison from Active and insists that he simply bought the overflow shares, which HCI was legally unable to purchase due to treasury limits. It's a bruising fight over value and control with a critical shareholder vote looming on January the 29th. The gloves are truly off. We've got a tad of the tape on BizNews. A self-inflicted economic tragedy, another story on BizNews. It's breaking, broke yesterday that South 32, you might remember them, they were a spin-off from BHP Billiton into which all the South African assets were placed. There were some other assets elsewhere in the world, but primarily the South African assets. Well, South 32 has announced the effective closure of its Mozal smelter in Mozambique. After 6 years of deadlock over soaring electricity prices, the plant will wind down by March next year. The fallout is devastating. There are 5,000 jobs on the line, but if you look at the indirect jobs in Mozambique, it's probably 10 to 1. You're talking about 50,000 people who are going to be directly impacted. But more than that, to give you context, Mozambique faces losing 3% of its entire GDP. It hurts here in South Africa as well, robbing Eskom of a critical hard currency client. As we wrote on BizNews, it was a high-stakes game of resource nationalism. The socialists in Mozambique bet the house and lost. And in executive moves, incoming Kumba Iron Ore CFO, Olani Mbambo, is starting there with a significant vote of confidence. We were very surprised to hear that Mbambo had left his post at Grindrod. He'd only been there for a year or so, where the company was continuing to do very well. He was the chief executive there. But I guess he has been provided with a golden handshake to make it worthwhile. On the Stock Exchange News Service, Kumba announced that it's awarded him over 184,000 shares. This is valued at a staggering 61.4 million rand. Now, Kumba's fortunes are largely determined on the iron ore price, a little bit like Sasol. Its fortunes are mostly dependent or determined by the international oil price. And in this instance, if the iron ore price were to rise, well, the new CFO at Kumba Iron Ore will be enjoying quite a bonanza. On the other hand, if iron ore doesn't do that well, there's not a heck of a lot that Mbambo is going to be thanking himself for in the decision, financially at least, to move across from Grindrod. The official story is that this is to compensate Mbambo for the Grindrod shares that he left on the table to join Kumba. They'll vest over 5 years, starting in 2026, and they lock him in for the long haul. Nice job if you can get it, huh? In other energy news, a game changer for the South African gas grid, the Perth-based explorer Kinetico Energy, which we've spoken about a lot here on BizNews, primarily because Don Ngube, who is a well-known South African entrepreneur, came to a recent investment conference, in fact, last year's BizNews investment conference, and told us all about the gas strikes in Mpumalanga. And Kinetico is the company that owns that. Well, it's up in the week by 19.5%. So the share price has jumped 19.5% in the past week. And this is after confirming a massive gas discovery right here in Mpumalanga. It isn't just another promise. Kinetico's shallow wells are flowing with 98.5% pure methane, premium grade gas that needs almost no processing. Best of all, it's sitting right on Eskom's doorstep next to the Majuba power station. So while offshore giants like Total Energy have packed up from South Africa, Kinetico's onshore plug-and-play solution is ready to bridge the power gap. And it's becoming a big story now, South African oil and gas, although very much in its infancy. One of the major attractions of HCI is that is its oil and gas participation just off the Namibian coast. And that, we hear, the income there will be coming in the not-too-distant future, whereas on the South African coast, there's still a lot of exploration to be done. Total found a terrific strike just off the Southern Cape. But because of reasons to do with governance and legislation, it decided not to go ahead. A little bit of good news on that front. There have been reports that despite some ANC members wanting to kibosh Elon Musk's move into South Africa with Starlink, which we spoke about on Monday, the ANC bigwigs are actually supporting the DA minister. So if that goes ahead, well, there looks to be a breaking of the dam, perhaps, in this black elite empowerment, which goes under the name of BEE right now. Moving on to the international front, the news coming out of Ukraine is good. It does look like they are making progress in the peace talks to the degree that the oil price has actually dropped below $60 a barrel for the first time in ages. And this on the belief that once peace breaks out there and Russian oil will no longer be sanctioned, there will be a strong flow of oil back into the international market. Amazing what traders do and the way that they'll take their bets. Our story on a similar front is from the Financial Times, from the FT news briefing, where they had a look at why hedge funds are investing in commodities.
Hedge funds are piling into physical commodities. They're looking for new sources of returns, but that can be tricky since they don't have the decades of experience that established players have. Here to tell us more is Amelia Pollard. She's the FT's U.S. investment correspondent. What exactly are these hedge funds investing in?
Hedge funds for a long time have invested in commodities. So, you know, that involves investing in power and natural gas and oil. But typically this has been in the form of paper trading. So you're making bets on oil futures or different kinds of derivatives that basically are an indicator of where the price of certain commodities might go. But now there's new interest in actually gaining exposure to the supply chain itself. So that might involve buying the rights to transport natural gas, for instance, over a pipeline, or buying up storage for crude oil. And then the goal is to sell or offload those commodities or energy at kind of peak prices or peak demand times.
And what's the strategy here? Why are these hedge funds so focused on this?
So they basically were hugely inspired by the returns and fortunes made in 2022. So 2022, if you remember, was an insane time in the commodity and energy space. It was largely set off by Russia invading Ukraine that year. So firms like Trafigura and Vitol, which are known as the big energy commodity trading giants in the space, made a lot. But so did Citadel, which is a hedge fund run by Ken Griffin and has been one of the pioneers in physical commodities trading. And so hedge funds like Balyasny and Jane Global, for instance, have looked on and realized that maybe it's time to gain some exposure to this part of the market, too.
Since this is new for these hedge funds, they obviously don't have a wealth of knowledge and experience in the industry yet. How much do you think that will complicate this push into physical commodities?
It will be a huge lift. You know, being involved in trading and investing in physical commodities, it's very expensive. You know, it's not for the faint of heart. And so these funds are basically making a bet that they think that it's worth their investment and worth devoting a huge amount of resources. And we'll see if it pays off. I think it depends on what the markets do in energy and oil and gas in the next few years. And, you know, if there are a few really tough years for these funds, I'm sure we'll see, you know, some of them get out of the market. But if there is another year soon, like 2022, you know, it could make it all worth it.
And what will the introduction of all these hedge funds in physical commodities mean in the long term for these markets?
Yeah, it's a bit too soon to tell. I mean, there have not been a lot of these players. And so, you know, Citadel has been a big force in these markets for about a decade. But I think that the projection is basically there's going to be increased competition for assets, for storage. What that means for consumers is a bit hard to determine at this point. But it does mean that you'll have more players and firms basically going after the same assets.
Don't forget to come along to the BizNews Premium webinar for premium members. We'll have a few changes, actually, to the portfolio. I think you'll find them pretty interesting. Now you have the edge for the full interviews and the details behind these stories. Head over to biznews.com. I'm Alec Hogg. Thanks for starting your morning with us. Now go and seize the day.